Hello, I'm Dr. John Davis. In this segment, we're going to consider how beliefs affect emotions. Many people feel that emotions are totally out of their control, and in fact, that is not the case. I mean, you can't turn an emotion on and off just by snapping your fingers or by deciding not to feel something. That is certainly true, but you can affect them. And several psychologists along the way have come along and said that this is true. The first person to ever talk about how belief affects emotions is actually a philosopher. That would be Kant. And Kant had the idea that there was a philosophy of the as-if. He said that we live as if certain things were true, and these things may or may not be true. I had a patient walk into my office a couple of years ago who sat down and said that his problem was that he wanted to get along better with his mother. I said, well, that's interesting. Why do you, at 50 years old, particularly want to get along better with your mother? He said, well, I live with her, and so I'd like to work on the relationship a little bit and see if I can't get along better with her. Well, I was curious about why he was living with his mother at age 50, and he told me that he had had a girlfriend at age 21. In fact, this was his soulmate, he felt certain, and the only person in the world for him, and he had lost her. She dumped him. She left him for someone else. And since that was the only person in the world for him, that he was doomed to a life of not having a woman, a girlfriend, or a wife, because that was his one and only. Well, he was depressed for a very, very long time after that. In fact, was still showing some signs of depression at age 50. But someone else who would go through the same thing at age 21 and have a different set of beliefs would not necessarily experience what this man experienced. So we began to talk about that and work on his belief system about love and about meeting someone who is or is not your one and only. A person who has a different set of beliefs, for example, might believe that, oh, there are lots of people out there who would be suitable for me. There are lots of fish in the sea. There are lots of people that I could be happy with, and I may have to go through a few that before I find the one that I can live with or one that suits me. So a person with that set of beliefs, rather than the set that my patient had, if they get dumped, they might go through a week or two of unpleasantness, maybe even be a little depressed for a while, and then they'll move on. They will not go through a 25 or 30 year depression and still be living with their mother when they're 50 years old. So beliefs do affect emotions, and Kant was the philosopher, as I said, who first came up with the idea that we live as if certain things were true. Then Adler came along after that, Alfred Adler, the psychologist, and developed individual psychology out of Kant's philosophy. And he said that not only do we all live as if certain things were true, but we each have a different idea of what is true. And the trick to doing therapy with anyone is to determine what is their specific idea of the world, how is it they see the world, what is their set of beliefs about the world. And then, if those beliefs are getting them in trouble, help them to change them. Albert Ellis is a psychologist who came along sometime after Adler and actually listed several of those beliefs, those mistaken beliefs that can get us into trouble. I'm going to name a few of them for you, or list a few of them for you, but let me say that if you want to read more about this, you can find his work, or you can go to read Wayne Dyer's early work. In his early work, he was not so much into spiritual things. He was more into these mistaken beliefs. Another psychologist that came along early was a man named Stanley Schachter, who said that beliefs affect emotions. He was sort of revolutionary in his time because other psychologists up to then had been saying that any activating event simply triggers an emotion. And the only question they were considering up to that time was whether or not the physiology of an emotional response occurred first or the emotion itself. These guys were James Lange and Cannon Bard. Well, Schachter came along and said, well, that's all well and good, but the interesting thing is how does the belief affect emotion? And he's right about that. Belief does affect emotion. It's not just an activating event that determines emotion. For example, let's say you're standing in the road and a car is headed toward you. Well, the activating event is the car headed toward you, and you're in the road, so you might feel the emotion of fear. Schachter would say you might or you might not, depending on the situation and what you believe about that car headed toward you. Let's take two different situations, for example, or two different sets of beliefs. Let's say that it's nighttime, you are on a lonely road, and there is a car headed toward you. Then your belief is that you might be in some danger, and so certainly you feel fear. But what if you are a stuntman standing in the road? There is a line drawn beside you that the car is supposed to stay on the other side of, and you have performed this act several times before, so you have every confidence that the driver is going to stay on the other side of that line. Will you feel fear? It's very unlikely. And yet, the activating event is the very same thing. A car is headed towards you in the night. So your belief about the situation is a powerful influence on what you actually feel. Albert Ellis said that actually the way feelings and behavior happen is in a model that goes something like this. First, there's an activating event, A. Then there is the belief about that event, B. Then there is a feeling that arises out of that belief. And then there's a behavior that results from that feeling. For example, if you're standing in the road and you're afraid, you might run. But if you're standing in the road and you're not afraid, you might not run. Ellis also talks about several basic beliefs, mistaken beliefs, that get us into trouble or cause us undue emotional stress, distress. For example, the first one he mentions, and whenever he talks about these, or used to talk about them, is, I must please all the people all the time. Now, the way he would work is, when he would notice that someone has this belief, he would begin to explain to them that they have this belief, because not anyone really would say this out loud. No one would say, yes, you have to please everyone all the time or else you're no good. But they may operate as if it is true. And so Ellis would say they believe it. So he would get them to argue with themselves. First he would argue with them, but then he would get them to argue with themselves about this belief. He would convince them that, no, you don't. Not only do you not have to please everybody, but if you're trying to, you are putting yourself under too much stress because it's totally impossible to please all the people all the time. You cannot be a chameleon. You cannot change based on every person whose presence you are in. You have to act in certain ways, and then some people are going to be pleased with you and some aren't. This is the way that he would argue with someone who has that belief. A second is, I must be in control all the time, or else I'm no good. Well, he would argue that, of course, you cannot be in control all the time. You can't do it. And so, therefore, it's a mistaken belief. not only can't you do it, but it's not necessary and not even useful to be in control all the time. There are times when it's useful to be number two or to be a follower. A third one is everything must turn out like I want it to, or else that is horrible, catastrophic, terrible, and I can't stand it. This is, of course, not a belief people say out loud, but the way many people act, that everything must turn out just like they want it to, or they just can't handle it. The truth is that things do not turn out like we want them to a good part of the time. And if you have that belief, you're a good part of the time, you're going to be in some kind of emotional distress. Another is, I must be perfect all the time, in every way. And this one is not only impossible to be, it isn't even desirable. Because if you are perfect, the only way to be perfect is to continue to repeat the same behavior over and over again and never learn anything new. So it is not something that we should even be striving for, is what Ellis would say about it. In fact, many times when I would have parents earlier in my career bring kids to me who were overly perfectionistic, I would have them go home and the assignment would be to make 5 mistakes during the next week, write them down, and bring them back and tell me about them. Kids would laugh about this. The parents would be a little bit upset because secretly they were promoting the idea that their child should be perfect. Well, it worked out very well, and the whole family would learn that not only do you not have to be perfect, it's not even a good idea. You aren't learning anything new if you're perfect. A fifth one that we could talk about is a mistaken idea that Ellis says that we have, is that people should act the way that I want them to all the time, or else they are no good, and I should blame them. Well, this is a very difficult thing to get to happen. People, in fact, do not act the way we want them to. People are all very different. Ellis would have you argue with that statement by saying things like, everyone is a little bit crazy and everyone is different from me, so there's no particular reason why everyone should act like I want them to. So these are 5 of the mistaken beliefs that lead to unpleasant emotions that Ellis says that we have, and he has 5 or 10 or 6 more that he talks about in his writings, and Wayne Dyer does in his early writings also. One thing you can do is to identify your most often felt negative emotion. What is the feeling that you've had in your life that is unpleasant that you have most often felt? Ellis would say to you that probably that feeling is arising out of some mistaken idea, like those 5 that I mentioned earlier. If not one of those 5, then some other mistaken idea. Because there's no particular reason for you to be feeling consistently an unpleasant emotion of any kind. So he would say, identify that belief, that mistaken belief that is behind it, and then determine the argument. What is the truth of the matter instead of the mistaken belief that we have? And then you watch for it. You watch for that emotion, and each time you feel it, you argue with yourself inside your head. You tell yourself the truth instead of things like, I must be perfect, or people should be like I want them to, or I have to please all these people in front of me, that kind of thing. All right, so thank you for listening. That is how beliefs affect emotions, and I will talk to you again later.